Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe. And for this episode, I'm going to be talking about the next two episodes of Kamen Rider Ichigo. Episodes 21 and 22. Don't have any news to get into. Outside of the promos for Zets and... then the reveals over on for the toys, but and obviously the reveals for like the suits and all the stuff coming up, but that's just the stuff on like the Reddits and things I've seen on the Instagram, with nothing else really there to really chat about, I guess I could just go right into the episode. These were fun. We're closing into the amount of episodes for Hayato that we've had for Takeshi, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because technically we only had Takeshi for about 11 episodes or so. It was around episode 10 or 11, which was the last episode that he was actually on, the actor. And then episode 13 was his final episode. And we'll get him back. He is coming back in episode 40. And then episode 14 is when Hayato showed up and he took over. So we're coming up to that point where we'll have more of Hayato than we've had of Takeshi, but we're also getting to the point I'm feeling where, like, we're a third of the way, we're almost a third of the way through the show, the season, and we're getting to the point where it feels like it's starting to drag. I know it's there's some exciting stuff from time to time, like these two episodes in particular. Episodes, the Dokugander confrontation at Osaka Castle, and the monstrous merman Amazonia. They changed up some of the attributes, I'll say, that the cyborgs, that the monsters have. This time around, they actually have like missiles in their hands, which is a fun new feature. It's something different. It's something that we haven't really seen some of these other characters, these other creatures have. And it's something different. That being said, though, it's not super exciting. It's not something that is, life-changing, I guess. I don't know. But it is something different. But at the same time, There's also, with the Snacks Amigo being the place where Takeshi met up at, and that's where he saw Tachibana, that's where he saw Ruruko and Hiromi, that's where he got his information. That worked, because it was just a food place. It was just some place to go and relax and... here we go. Then they moved to a racing club, and that's where Hayato goes, and that's where he gets his... That's basically the team element. And that's fine, but you're calling it a racing club, and I think this is, what, eight, nine episodes now? And I've seen them do... I've seen Tachibana teach the dirt bikes to the girls once, maybe twice. Every other time it's them doing something else. Last episode, they were climbing a mountain. They were riding. I guess they were actually riding through the mountain. So that's one. The one before that, though, they were, what were they doing? They were, they were at the beach. Because the girls were at the beach because it was summer break. Yeah, that's what it was. But like in this one, they're at the beach again on the second episode. So it's just like, why? Why? I don't get it. But that's just me complaining now. That's me just kind of ranting at the moment. But that being said, I'll stop my ranting so we can get into the episodes. So here we go. First episode, episode 21, Dokugander confrontation at Osaka Castle. Did it again. At the Hanshin University of Science, Mr. Yoshiaka, the assistant from last episode, and also a professor in his own right, apparently, and I do have to apologize for not naming him last episode. I thought he was a one and done because I didn't think it was a two-parter. But yeah, he was named last episode, and I didn't do that. The professor was also named last episode, and I didn't name him. I think from now on, when they actually name the characters, I'm going to name them. I will say their names. So I apologize for that. And I say that specifically when we get into to episode 22. But he is fielding questions from reporters about seeing a man-sized caterpillar up on the mountains. And he apparently has pictures to prove it. Not sure where he would have gotten those pictures from. The professor's camera was submerged in water, and I guarantee it ruined the film. But yet somehow, Yoshiaka has pictures of Dokugander. When he goes back to his office, he can't seem to find the photos that he left on his desk. Suddenly, his dead professor walked in, and Yoshiaka is happy at first, but when the professor tells the reporters that Yoshiaka made up the story about the man-sized caterpillar just to get his name in the paper, he starts to question if he should be happy about his return. At the racing club, Hiromi and Michi show Tachibana and Hayato the paper saying that the professor is alive and that Yoshiaka was driven out of the university because of a publicity stunt. They know for a fact that it wasn't a stunt. Tachibana asks Hayato if he thinks the professor could be an imposter. Hayato is unsure, but confident that Yoshiaka is in danger. He is going to head over to Osaka. I know the paper said he was driven out of the university, but Yoshiaka and the professor are still sciencing up things in the office. Yoshiaka shows the professor his growth serum he has been working on that accelerated the development of cocoons. Pretty convenient timing, if you ask me, considering the episode. Yoshiaka puts a cocoon into a beaker with the serum for a few minutes and then pulls it out and it has become enlarged. The professor is ecstatic about this. He asks Yoshiaka to come to his secret lab to investigate further. Yoshiaka accepts the invite. Hayato makes his way to Osaka, but he is stopped when a giant cocoon rolls into the middle of the road. He recognizes this cocoon, but he can't quite place where from. Maybe from the birthday party last week where that kid had a piñata? No, that looked like a horse, not a giant cocoon. The cocoon splits open and Dokugander, the moth, comes out, ready to kill Hayato. Naturally, some combat men show up as well, so when Dokugander flew up to them on top of the hill and Hayato jumped up after them, they started attacking. Dokugander shot out some stingers, I think, from his hands, but Hayato grabbed on one of the combat men and used him as a shield. On the road, Taki pulled up in the jeep, and suddenly those stingers turned into rockets that destroyed that vehicle. It was quite a sight. Satisfied with what he was able to accomplish, Dokugander takes off. And I'm really not sure why he did that. He actually had the advantage at the moment, and he was kind of kicking Hayato's ass all over the mountainside. Especially when Hayato was kicking his ass just a few days ago when he was a caterpillar. And that was when he was in his Kamen Rider form. And he's not right now. So I don't get it. Like, he was winning. He could have actually pressed his advantage and just kept on it. But, you know, plot says otherwise. I don't know. Well, with that ordeal now over with, Taki hops on the back of Hayato's motorcycle and they continue on with their journey to Osaka. Osaka. Apparently, the FBI thinks that Shocker is planning something there, so they sent Taki to investigate. That was why he happened upon Hayato. When they get to the university, they find Yoshiaka gone and a dagger sticking out of the wall. The dagger had the head of an eagle on it, or on the hilt, and was able to talk, telling Hayato that they were too late and that Yoshiaka was already in their custody. This is why Dokugander attacked Hayato when he did, to distract him. Shocker is good at that, keeping people's attention away from the important things at times. I also find it impressive that the dagger was able to talk. It's a wireless dagger, which is pretty awesome. You know, that dagger had Wi-Fi. Pretty cool. Especially in 1972, I think is when this one was. 73? I think we're in 73, early 73 now. I can't remember. We see Yoshiaka and the professor drive up to the secret lab in what looks to be an abandoned building. The professor tells him to go on in, and when he does, the professor locks Yoshiaka in the building. Yoshiaka looks out the window and sees the professor laughing at him, and then exit stage left, only for Dokugander to appear from below the window. It seems like the implication is that Dokugander was portraying himself as the professor to get the things he wanted, namely the growth serum that he didn't know about until earlier in the day. But that is impossible since the professor showed up and was with Yoshiaka when they were on their way to the lab while Dokugander was fighting Hayato. Something does happen later on in this episode that gives a little more explanation for the scene, and I'll bring that up when we get to it. Anyway, Dokugander has a handful of cocoons with more Dokugander cyborgs in them that he wants Yoshiaka to use his growth serum on. Yoshiaka refuses at first, but then Dokugander shows him a video of his daughter, Miki, playing in their house. Or at their house, not in their house. It's creepy already that he's got a video of them at the house. It'd be even creepier if it was in the house. And he tells him that and he tells him that if he doesn't do what they say, then they will kidnap her and force him to make the serum. I really was messed up when I wrote these notes. Basically, if he doesn't do what they say, they'll kidnap her and make him do it the hard way. At the Yoshiaka residence, Miki is bouncing her ball with no care in the world. We see Mari and Yuri driving around the truck, calling out that they are collecting paper and exchanging it for toilet paper. It's all just a ploy to keep an eye on Miki. Hayato told them that Shocker's next move will be to kidnap his daughter to make him comply, so they are doing what they can to make sure she is safe. A suspicious vehicle pulls up, and a woman gets out. Yuri was looking on and disregards them as Shocker because apparently women aren't good enough in her eyes to be villains. Someone wasn't around in the early days when there was woman Shocker agents that did literally nothing, but they were there. The woman walks up to Miki and tells her that her father was in an accident and she is here to take her to him. When Miki turns around, it is actually Goro, and he tells her to piss off and then throws the ball at her. The woman swats the ball away and then jumps back, transforming into a combat man in the process. And this is what I wanted to bring up. Now, the combat men having the ability to change into people whenever they want. At least before, with the cyborgs, they could revert back to their previous human forms. But in this episode, we had one combat man transform into a lady and another, possibly into the professor. At least that's what would make the most sense, and it not being the professor, not being the Dokugander. It does seem a little convenient for the show that is all about conveniences, but it also is a thing that might happen more later on. We haven't had it yet. I feel like that's one of those things where they should have, if that is something that they want to go with, that's fine. That's a good move. I remember in Power Rangers, way back when, the Putties used to pull that move all the time. They would transform into people all the time and trick Power Rangers, trick kids, and capture things they need to capture all the time. I think a lot more in like the later seasons when they were running out of Sentai footage and they had to make their own footage, but they still did it. So the grunts changing into humans works for me. I'm not against that, but do it more often, because doing it once or twice and that's it, just that doesn't work. You need to keep doing it. So the combat man goes to attack Goro, but Mari and Yuri jump in the way and are able to knock him out instead. Now tied up and at the hotel room, Hayato is asking the combat man questions, but he is refusing to answer, which is not surprising. Combat men are fiercely loyal, it seems. Too bad the commanders aren't fiercely loyal to them. As the rest of the group is trying to make Miki comfortable, there's a fun back and forth between Miki and Goro about him saying kids need to stick together and her saying that he hates or she hates boys. Dokugander comes flying at the hotel, attacking from the outside and killing the combat men. Combat man, sorry, I said put men there. Taki rushes out of the room and up to the roof. He calls out the monster and Dokugander obliges, peppering Taki with attacks with every pass over the roof. He eventually gets Taki to one corner of the roof and moves in for the kill, but Hayato shows up and transforms into Kamen Rider and is able to send Dokugander retreating with some well-placed kicks. Should have taken him out on the road when you had the chance there, Dokugander. Elsewhere in Osaka, a man is taking a picture of a bunch of kids lined up like they are in a class photo. Mari and Yuri run up to this man and ask him if he has seen Miki or Goro around. The man says he hasn't, and when the girls wonder if Shocker got to them, the man chimes in that Shocker is more likely to grab the two of you, the two girls. They look surprised that he even knows who Shocker is. You would think that even with a hat on and fake mustache and beard, they would recognize Tachibana, since they see him on an almost daily basis. I mean, I did. I recognized him. He was worried about everyone, so he came up here and was trying to hide in plain sight. With that out of the way now, he asked the girls if they want a picture taken. They said sure and stepped back a bit to get ready. When Tachibana is about to click the button, he sees Dokugander drop in behind the girls, and then a couple of combat men come in from the sides. They tried their best to fight them off, but they were way outnumbered. As for Miki and Goro, she was looking through her telescope trying to find her dad. Goro was being kind of mean to her, saying that Osaka is way too big and she's never going to see him through that tiny telescope. And when they were walking around, they got nabbed up by some combat men. Dokugander decided to tie his captives up to stakes and was going to execute them, but before he could get a shot off, Kamen Rider drove in, stopping him. Although I'm not sure why he still didn't fire. it was a guaranteed hit on something. If not one of the hostages who you are trying to kill, then on Kamen Rider, who you are also trying to kill. These villains need to figure out how to be better villains, if you ask me. Rider is able to free Tachibana, and he frees everyone else as the combat men attack Rider. Another combat man runs up to Dokugander to let him know that Yoshiaka has finished the growth serum. He gives the order to pull back and then goes flying over the entrance, or over to the entrance to the base. Might have been a good idea to have done that with Kamen Rider not 100 yards away. But who am I to judge? As Dokugander and the combat men descend into the base, Taki pops into the entrance disguised in a combat man outfit and catches up with the group. And I really should have started a Taki enters the base in costume count, because this is like the third or fourth time he's done that. Maybe if he does it like one or two more times, I might start doing that. But yeah, man, like he does that a lot. Yoshiaka shows Dokugander the serum, and he tells Yoshiaka to proceed at once. Taki speaks up, which is a no-no for combat men, and tells him that if he does this, then something bad will happen. Dokugander tells Taki to be, or orders Taki to be taken away, and tells Yoshiaka to continue. He struggles for a bit, but finally starts pouring the serum on all the cocoons, which destroys them instead of growing them. If Dokugander could make a face, it would be one of disbelief. But because his mask can't show emotion, all he could do is demand to know what Yoshiaka is doing. He tells the monster that he won't be helping him make any new cyborgs. Rider and Tachibana were able to get to the base, again, only 100 yards away, and enter it. While they were looking around, they heard some banging coming from the walls. It was Taki playing handball in his cell to pass the time. I mean, he was tapping on the wall, is what it was. Rider picks up a rock and taps out a message back to Taki. That message was the chorus to Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus as he burst through the wall. All that noise attracted the attention of some combat men who came running to the cell to see what was going on. They didn't do anything because Rider kicked the cell open and then they were gone. Like, they literally came in, saw Rider, Taki, and Tachibana on the other side of the cell. Rider kicks the cell door open and then the three of them just run out into the hall and just run down the hall. Like, there was literally no reason to have these combat men show up to the cell at all. But there is a reason to have these guys fight combat men in the halls of this base. You know, that just makes sense. So they do that. They're actually fighting other ones as they are making their way through the base to get to Yoshiaka, who just so happens to be being escorted down the hall by some combat men and Dokugander. Rider calls Dokugander out and then proceeds to kick the living shit out of every combat man that gets between him and Dokugander. Taki was able to flank the monster from behind, catching him unaware, which gave Tachibana time to come in from a side hallway and grab Yoshiaka and get him safely away. As these two rush out the base, Yoshiaka asks about his daughter, and Tachibana is happy to tell him that she is safe. Dokugander is able to slip past Rider and Taki and ends up outside of the base, with some combat men following him, and the two heroes behind them. They all just end up going up each flight of stairs they find, and at every landing, a scuffle breaks out, more often between Taki and the combat men than anyone else. Rider is able to corner Dokugander at the end of an overlook, which is funny considering he can fly. He finally remembers that after Rider kicked him down to the lower levels, so he takes to the air as Rider jumps to intercept, but misses. Rider course corrects midair, but misses again. Third time's the charm, as Dokugandra comes flying in, and Ryder delivers a Ryder kick so powerful that it sends Dokugandra falling into the building below, exploding on impact, and then the whole building explodes like it was wired for a controlled takedown, but whoever wired it used way too many explosives. Yoshiaka and Miki say goodbye to everyone at the airport. Miki and Goro, are now great friends and are telling each other to come visit sometime. Yoshiaka asks why Hayato and Taki didn't want to get on a plane with them, and Tachibana said that those fools prefer a motorcycle to a plane for some reason. As the plane flies off, we see Hayato and Taki hop on their motorcycles and ride off. So, with the end of that episode, this episode was fun. I enjoyed it. It was fine. Like I said, it's just getting into a lull here, but I don't know. But we do got, you know, we got some kills going on here. Kamen Rider has two. Taki has two, and Dokugandra got two. I mean, Dokugandra, I think more likely killed I think he killed his own people more. I think that's what it was. But still. But the Ragdoll Roundup, in which I am including toys in this one, and this one definitely was more toys than ragdolls. But I counted the Jeep getting blown up because that literally was just a toy getting like set on fire. And then we have, I have written down here, Dokugandra flying around. Pretty sure it was a toy just on a string. More Dokugandra flying. So much Dokugandra flying times five. Like, they literally just had them on a string going across the screen like four or five different times. A few of those were when he was flying at the hotel. Like, they were just bringing him in on the window, just like swooping in on like a loop. Like, he was on a fan that was just like looping around. That was kind of fun. But now this one, though, the Dokugandra flying across the screen and Ryder jumping diagonally. And that was like Dokugandra, like I said, string going across, and then Ryder being drug across, diagonal across the screen, first going up and then reverse. Like, him, the Dokugandra is going across again, and then Ryder is going diagonal the other way. And then the last one is Dokugandra falling into the building. Again, all of these are toy models on strings going that, but it's obvious that it's not the person. So, with all the flying, I'll count that as just one, because it literally is just the same thing over and over again. But no, we got, let's see, one, two, three, four. The flying across the screen with Ryder, I'll count that as a separate one. But yeah, so four, technically. But no, that is fun. And I do like finding those, like seeing those. Those are pretty great. All right, moving on. Yeah, so. Okay, moving on. The Monstrous Merman Amazonia. We open up at that pool where an Olympic swim team is training. As one swimmer is on his way back, the path in front of him starts to bubble up, and he swam right into it. It pulled him under, and when his teammates dive in to try and grab him, they come up empty-handed. Days passed with no sign of the swimmer. I want you to remember that. This guy disappeared from an Olympic-sized pool by being pulled under water. Naturally, Hayato thinks Shocker has evolved, so he is going to check the pool out a little more thoroughly. Out in the ocean, Taki is scuba diving with another FBI agent that was sent to help him track down the mysterious sound wave coming from the area of the sea. Or this area of the sea. After some time, they head back to the surface and Taki asks her if she found anything. The agent, whom they never give a name, which was very annoying, said that she didn't find anything and that they should probably try again tomorrow. Taki said she is the expert, and they both get back into the boat. giving up after a couple of minutes? Question mark. That sounds like something Taki would do in the first 5 minutes of an episode. Close by, a guy named Aoyagi is trying to teach his little sister, Miyuki, how to swim. Why he chose to teach her in the ocean and not a pool is a weird decision, but here we are. Aoyagi swims out a bit and tells her to swim toward him, saying that he will be there to get her. But before she can dive in, the water around him starts to bubble and a fish monster pops up and grabs him, dragging him under. Miyuki could only watch in horror. At a hotel, the Tachibana Racing Club is enjoying the day by the pool at a beachside hotel. Goru, Hiromi, and Yuri are splashing around while Tachibana is relaxing on the lounger and Mari is sulking next to him. Apparently, she is jealous that Taki is somewhere else with another woman and not teaching her how to dive like he had promised the next time they were going to the beach. Tachibana told her that the woman is a co-worker, but Mari didn't care. I'm convinced that Taki's marriage was a sham put in place by the FBI, so Taki could get close to Kamen Rider. It didn't help that when he showed up, Takeshi was getting ready to head out of Japan to take on Shocker and save Hayato. It just worked in his favor when Hayato showed up and revealed himself as the new Kamen Rider. Speaking of Taki, him and the other agent see Miyuki crying on the rock, and rocks, so they go check on her, and the first thing she says is that her brother was eaten by a monster. In the underwater base, we see Aoyagi on a table. The fish monster, Amazonia, tells the great leader that this man possesses great stamina and will be converted into a worker at once. He'll then be sent down to work digging up the uranium at the bottom of the ocean that Shocker will use for their next diabolical scheme. Remember me talking about that guy disappearing from the pool at the beginning? Hayato is still investigating it, still thinking Shocker is involved somehow. He follows a bunch of maybe foot and a half wide drainage pipes that lead all the way to the ocean and concludes that Shocker stole the swimmer to create a cyborg proficient in water. It's mind-boggling how he came to that conclusion. Does that mean Amazonia is the swimmer that went missing from the pool? Or is he just like Aoyagi and they captured him to be used as a worker to dig up the uranium? Either way, how the hell did either Amazonia or a combat man get from the ocean to the pool, grab the swimmer, and then get back to the ocean, and all while being able to go through that foot and a half wide pipe? Make it make sense, Hayato. The next day, as Taki and his partner are heading out for another dive, Hayato is attacked by some combat men while making his way to the hotel to meet up with everyone else. Amazonia, I don't know why it sounded weird that time, shows up and fires some missiles from his hands. I guess that's just a thing these new models do now. But Hayato is able to dodge out of the way, transforming in the process. Kamen Rider runs out onto a rope bridge and faces off against some combat men until Amazonia challenges him from the rocks below. So Rider jumps down and takes him on. But the fish monster is stronger than he looks. And when the fight gets taken to the water, Amazonia really has the advantage. He is pummeling Rider this way and that until Rider is able to get some space between them and jumps back to dry land. Instead of following, Amazonia dives under the water. Taki and his partner get ready to dive into the water. He tells her to meet back here in 20 minutes, and if she gets in trouble, to hit the emergency button. She agrees and off they go, searching in different areas. Hayato finally meets up with the rest of his friends, who were all standing by the road worried about him, because he took longer to get to them than it should have. He tells them about running into Shocker on his way over and about the fish monster in the water. Tachibana looks distressed and tells Hayato that Taki and his partner just went for a dive. Hayato tells everyone to go back to the hotel and to stay there. Miyuki asks him, or asks if he is going to save her brother, and Hayato made a pinky promise that he would. Little confused on how Hayato knew Miyuki's name, having just met her and not being told her name. I don't know. It's his show, I guess. As Shocker prepares Aoyagi to become a worker on the ocean floor, which looks strangely like when someone is being changed into a cyborg, Taki is being ambushed by a few combat men underwater. He almost got away, but they were able to knock the wind out of him and drag him under. When his partner got to the meeting place, she noticed the emergency beacon on her watch going off. Right then, Hayato comes driving up in the motorized boat, asking where Taki is. She tells him that he is in danger, so he tells her to make her way back to the hotel to keep the others safe. He transforms and then dives into the water. Taki is taken to the underwater base, gets smacked around a bit by Amazonia, and then thrown into a containment capsule. On the surface, combat men slow down the agent's progress long enough for Amazonia to capture her and bring her down to the base. They lock her in the other containment capsule. Finally, Ryder makes it to the base, and I think he stopped off at the Krusty Krab or something, because there should have been no reason for Amazonia to get from the base to land, capture the agent, and then get back to the base in the time it took Ryder to dive into the water and find said base. Anyway, Ryder makes his way around the base and ends up in the room with Taki and the agent. He opens up both capsules in the most dramatic way possible, but I'm also surprised Amazonia let him open the capsule in the first place. 6 versus 1 is a lot better odds in Shocker's favor than 6 versus 3. And yes, I know that the combat men get taken out easily almost every time, but the more numbers you have, the better odds you have at, you know, in your favor, obviously. As it turns out, though, Amazonia has another trick up his sleeve in the form of depleting the oxygen level to a fraction of its normal levels, making it harder for Ryder, Taki, and the agent to breathe, let alone fight. So even with Ryder usually whooping ass and Taki able to beat down a combat man here and there, neither one can really fight back here. Ryder figures out that he needs to hit the switches to get the oxygen back. And when he does, it's like every time in Smallville when Clark Kent has kryptonite near him and then has it taken away, and he is automatically back up to full power. These three turn the tables and start wrecking house, causing Amazonia to retreat out of the base. Ryder goes to find Aoyagi while Taki and his partner get ready to set off explosives in the base before they escape the base themselves. Ryder is able to find Aoyagi and freeze him, and they make it up to the surface, where Amazonia was waiting for him. Ryder tells Aoyagi to go to his sister and that he will handle this fish monster. So Aoyagi complies. Ryder and Amazonia square off, and since they're on land this time, Ryder is able to take Amazonia to task until he brings out the big guns in the form of his missile hands. Ryder jumps back as Amazonia fires, and when the smoke clears, Ryder is laying prone on the ground. Amazonia walks up to make sure he is finished, and Ryder kicks him square in the groin. He then delivers a Ryder kick that sends him flying over the cliffside and into the water where he explodes. And then we see the base explode at the same time. But Shocker should really rethink those missiles and those cyborgs now. I'm just saying. Apparently, they just keep blowing up. But we end the episode with a happy reunion with Aoyagi and Miyuki. So that's where we're at. And then we also get, for our kill count, Kamen Rider has 6 on this episode. Taki has another 1, which we get when we get combined here. Let's see here. Got to find that back up there. Let's see. That is 8 total for Kamen Rider, which also actually gives him another, let's see here, totally gives him, sorry, doing my math here, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 total now. And then Taki has one here, so that's 3 total for this episode that I'm doing, which brings him up to 10 total. Yeah, because he had 7 before. Yeah, so that's a lot of people are dying in this show. I kind of like it. But as for the Ragdoll Roundup, we've got a combat man being tossed from the bridge into the water. That was a straight up ragdoll that got tossed. That was pretty awesome to see. And then when Ryder goes into the base, it is just a toy going into a toy base. That was toy on a string being dragged into the base. Fine to see. Nothing wrong there. But yeah, that's literally all I got. Fun. Like I said, these episodes are fine. I'm not going to say they're dragging. They're dragging a little bit. I'm also, the other thing that's really confusing me is it seems like the whole racing club, they haven't come out and said it, but like we know that Tachibana and Taki know that Hayato is Kamen Rider. But as openly as they are talking about Shocker being the villains, it seems like everybody in the racing club knows that Hayato is Kamen Rider. It seems that way. They haven't come out and said it, but it definitely seems that way. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I complained a little bit about Ruruko not knowing that Takeshi was Kamen Rider. And they had some sort of a reason why she couldn't know. And yet, she went with him in, you know, air quotes with him, to help release Hayato from Shocker. So, like, reasons, dude, like, I don't know. But yeah, so that's what I got here. So thank you all for listening. If you're listening to us on our new solo feed, thank you for that. If you want to check out more of what we have to offer, you can go check out Comic Book Rundown, where you will find this show as well as our other shows, Rundown Reviews, which will be getting its own feed as well here soon. We also have Comic Book Rundown, which has their episodes come out the last Saturday of the month. I know this month, myself and Ron will be covering 7 Secrets. I got to get that read and notes written up for that here soon. And then the last Sunday of the month, Chuck and I do what we call Getting Franchised. And then I think that's all the stuff. Yeah, because I think if I do any more podcasts, I'm going to literally explode like these cyborgs. So that is what we have for... You can find all those literally at Comic Book Rundown, the Comic Book Rundown feed. Or like I said, you will have... we've got, obviously, Kamen Rider Chronicles, its own feed. Rundown Reviews will have their own feed here very shortly. But, yeah. So, you can find us on social media, Comic Book Rundown. Email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. And I think that is everything. So, thank you all for listening. And we will catch you next time.